All of these examples illustrate situations in which a society fails to try to solve perceived problems because the maintenance of the problem is good for some people. Other failures involve what social scientists consider irrational behavior, that is, behavior that is harmful for everybody. Such irrational behavior often arises when each of us individually is torn by clashes of values. We may ignore a bad status quo because it is favored by some deeply held value to which we cling. Psychologists use the term sunk cost effect for a related trait. We feel reluctant to abandon a policy or sell a stock in which we have already invested heavily. Religious values tend to be especially deeply held and hence frequent causes of disastrous behavior. For example, much of the deforestation of Easter Island had a religious motivation: to obtain logs to transport and erect the giant stone statues that were the object of veneration. The modern world provides us with abundant secular examples of values to which we cling. Australians brought from Britain a tradition of raising sheep for wool and an identification with Britain, but are now beginning to appreciate that those values also have downsides. A reason why Montanans have been so reluctant to solve their problems caused by mining, logging, and ranching is that those three industries became bound up with Montana's pioneer spirit and identity. Communist China's determination not to repeat the errors of capitalism led it to scorn environmental concerns as just one more capitalist era, and thereby to saddle China with enormous environmental problems. Rwandan's ideal of large families was appropriate in traditional times of high childhood mortality, but has led to a disastrous population explosion today. It appears to me that much of the rigid opposition to environmental concerns in the first world nowadays involves values acquired early in life and never again re-examined. It is painfully difficult to decide whether to abandon some of one's core values when they seem to be coming incompatible with survival. All such decisions involve gambles, because one often can't be certain that clinging to core values will be fatal, or that abandoning them will ensure survival. Among five small Eastern European countries faced with the overwhelming might of Russian armies, the Estonians, Latvians, and Lithuanians surrendered in 1939 without a fight. The Finns fought in 1939 to 1940 and preserved their independence, and Hungarians fought in 1956 and lost their independence. Who among us is to say which country was wiser, and who could have predicted in advance that only the Finns would win their gamble? Perhaps a crux of success or failure as a society is to know which core values to hold on to and which ones to discard and replace with new values when times change. In the last 60 years, the world's most powerful countries have given up long-held, cherished values previously central to their national image while holding on to other values. Britain and France abandoned their centuries-old role as independently acting world powers. Japan abandoned its military tradition and armed forces, and Russia abandoned its long experiment with communism. The United States has retreated substantially from its former values of legalized racial discrimination, legalized homophobia, a subordinate role of women, and sexual repression. Societies and individuals that succeed may be those that have the courage to take those difficult decisions, and that have the luck to win their gambles. Irrational failures to try to solve perceived problems also arise from clashes between short-term and long-term motives of the same individual. Billions of people in the world today are desperately poor and think only of food for the next day. Poor fishermen in tropical reef areas use dynamite and cyanide to kill coral reef fish in order to feed their children today, in the full knowledge that they are thereby destroying their future livelihood. Governments, too, regularly operate on a short-term focus. They feel overwhelmed by imminent disasters and pay attention only to problems that are on the verge of explosion. Finally, even after a society has anticipated, perceived, or tried to solve a problem, it may still fail for obvious possible reasons. The problem may be beyond our present capacities to solve. A solution may exist but be prohibitively expensive, or our efforts may be too little and too late. Some attempted solutions backfire and make the problem worse. Many past societies lack the detailed ecological knowledge that now permits us to cope better with the problems that they faced. Others of those problems continue to resist solution today. Among the most recalcitrant problems today are those posed by introduced pest species, which often prove impossible to eradicate or control once they have become established. For example, the state of Montana continues to spend over $100 million per year on combating leafy spurge and other introduced weed species. That's not because Montanans don't try to eradicate them, but simply because the weeds are impossible to eradicate at present. The problem of catastrophic forest fires in dry parts of the U.S. Intermontane West could probably be brought under control by management techniques to reduce the fuel load. Unfortunately, carrying out that solution on a large scale is considered prohibitively expensive. Thus, human societies and smaller groups may make disastrous decisions for a whole sequence of reasons, but it's obvious that societies don't regularly fail to solve their problems. If that were true, all of us would now be dead or else living again under the Stone Age conditions of 13,000 years ago. Why, then, do some societies succeed and others fail? For instance, why did the Inca Empire succeed in reafforesting its dry, cool environment, while the Easter Islanders and Greenland Norse didn't? The answer partly depends on idiosyncrasies of particular individuals and will defy prediction. But I still hope that better understanding of the potential causes of failure may help planners to become aware of those causes and to avoid them.